All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I've saved this segment for an update from Great Bear Resources. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. I wanted to save this segment for Great Bear because Great Bear has been an exploration company, a gold company that has really made waves. It shows that you can build a very impressive company even in a sideways market. And anyone who has followed along with the conversations that Chris and I have had over probably about a year now has really, or probably, I hope, understands the scale of which this project is growing. Great Bear is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTC markets under the symbol GTBDF. Now, Chris, let's talk about a recent news release that came out on Thursday. It kind of summarizes a lot of the exploration, at least plans for the short term here. A lot talks about this LP fault and how the company has been able to now find four high-grade gold zones. The initial high-grade gold zones are the Hinge and Dixie Limb zone. However, the couple new zones, the Bear Remimbi zone, you and I have chatted about that, and the Yuma zone. Can you give us just a little bit more color of how these new zones have developed through some of the recent drilling?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I'll get into that for a sec. You know, we had, when we did the deal on the project a few years back, we had 150 drill holes from across several kilometers of strike length on the property. So it's one of the reasons that we were so keen on the project is because there was a lot of gold in a lot of different areas. That being said, you know, when you go into a project like this, we fixed up the data and we began predicting and then hitting with the drill rig high-grade gold in what we call the Dixie Limb Zone, which was the original discovery zone by Teck Resources in the 80s. We subsequently, about a year ago now, found the Hinge Zone, which is really just right adjacent to the Dixie Limb. These are both high-grade gold in quartz vein zones that are very typical Red Lake-style gold systems. So these would be very, very much like what you know, Goldcorp and now Newmont Goldcorp is mining at the main Red Lake gold mine, so high-grade gold and quartz veins. And it's what effectively made Goldcorp such a big company at the time, was the profitability of mining this high-grade gold, even though they had to mine down to exceptional depths of, you know, 2.5 kilometers below the surface to do it. So we found that kind of mineralization in the Hinge and the Limb, but going right to surface. So we were already on a very good path up until about a month ago or so. And then what we found was that we also had data from historical drill holes and a few holes that we even put in across this big fault zone. This big structure was probably a better way to describe it, which goes across the property for about 18 kilometers. And that structure, the LP fault, is the reason that we staked the project along the axis that we did, because what we did was we picked up all the strike length of intersection of that fault, that structure, with the greenstone rocks in the area, because that's where you have the potential to develop gold deposits. And the very first drill hole that we put across that fault, what we had previously seen was that there was low-grade gold in the half-gram to gram kind of range in the fault itself. And you'd see 30 meters, 50 meters of that. And we knew that you could see that across about 2.5 kilometers of strike length. But nobody had ever tested the other side of the fault, these quote-unquote bad rocks, the felsic rocks on the other side of the fault. The very first hole that we put into that, we called that discovery the Bear Remimbi Zone, and that returned very high-grade gold right near surface, like right to surface is how that'll project, just below the thin layer of gravel that covers up that area. You'll end up getting, like, it was a couple meters of 200 grams roughly, and I think it was about 14 meters of 12 grams below that. And then the drill hole went through the fault, and it hit, I believe it was about 50 meters of 0.75 grams per ton gold, so 3/4 of a gram. So it was amazing to see that there had just never been drilling into that area. So what we did was go back into the historical data, and about 1.5 kilometers away from the Bear Remimbi discovery, we pulled out old drill core that had just been sitting there on the surface unassayed for more than a decade, And we noticed that in the box, unassayed, unsplit, there was high-grade visible gold right from the location where that drill hole penetrated through the structure and into those footwall, quote-unquote, bad felsic rocks. So we released that, and that was, I believe it was a couple meters of about 10 grams or so, and we called that the Yuma Zone. So what we noticed was similar geology, similar alteration, and similar high-grade gold and similar low-grade gold within the fault area along then a kilometer and a half of strike length. Well, subsequently, we've been drilling this area very aggressively, and not because we don't have interest or faith in the hinge and the limb zone, which also continue to generate very nice high-grade gold results, but it's the scope of this LP fault target. I mean, it cuts the property for over 18 kilometers of strike length. That is big. That is a district scale target in and of itself. And what we'd really like to do is figure out, we know in two out of two areas that have tested the footwall of that fault, we have high grade gold. And in all areas where drilling has crossed that fault, we have the low grade gold system. So it's already showing you that you have a big gold system and you have the potential. We see it clear as day on the geophysics. We did high resolution magnetic airborne survey about 2 years ago now. We saw this big structure crossing that area, and then we stake claims to control the whole area. So you see that structure, the projection of it is clear as day on the geophysics, and the drilling in over 16 drill holes that have been completed into that fault show you the same thing. So we're very excited by the potential scale of that target, and that's why we put out the news on Thursday saying that we've now moved all three drill rigs to this new target so that we can, as rapidly as possible, characterize sort of the size and scale and types of alteration, mineralization, geology across as much of this as we can, as quickly as we can. So that's really was the focus of the news release, to show people that we're very, very positive on this target, and we'd really like to see what the implications are in terms of the style and size of that mineralized system.
Okay, yeah, and these high-grade results are really something that has caught the market's attention. Like you said, you were seeing lower-grade results in that fault, but beside that fault zone, some of these high-grade results are very encouraging. And just to follow up on your comment that you are moving those three drill rigs to test out along this LP fault, that's not because you're not going to continue testing that hinge zone or the Dixie limb zone, but you have a lot of drill results that are backlogged in the labs. Isn't that correct? You need to get those back to then understand where best to put those drills when you move them back.
That's correct, Corey. We end up in the situation now where with three rigs, you drill almost 500 meters of core per day on the project. So, and that's a function of the fact that a lot of the drilling is quite shallow. So you end up really ripping through a lot of meters of core, and you have to flip that over to the lab. Now, the lab gets backed up just because they don't have enough staff to process that amount of drill core coming in on a daily basis. It's crazy. So they've actually had to recently send portions of all this work and sort of subcontract it or ship it out to two other labs just to try to keep up with the pace of activity that we're sending them. So I think, you know, a few years ago with the way sort of Red Lake was going was these labs were just kind of sitting on their hands. They didn't have enough core to keep them all busy. And now with this level of activity that we're seeing, we've kept them so busy that they can't even keep up. So there's definitely a backlog in our assays. And, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to stop our pace of work, or are we going to continue to aggressively push forward and develop all of these new targets that we're seeing on the project?
Now, I want to look at figure one within this news release that outlines in the Dixie Limb Zone and the Hinge Zone these possible redox zones. Now, this ties in with an SGH survey, which you have conducted on these two zones, but have now also extended to this LP fault. More or less looks like it is giving you a bit more understanding of these resources that are undercover. Can you give us some more information on how this SGH survey is helping and what these redox zones mean to you?
This is quite interesting for us because we don't have any direct interest as the gold explorationists in these sort of redox zones. But It's important because ACT Labs, which is the group that pioneered this technique, effectively what they've done is collected data from a whole number of mineral deposits. They gave me the number, I believe, when we were looking at the technique. It's like over 100 different mineralized systems that they've collected orientation data off of. And what they notice is that this whole technique is based on how microbes in the soil and in the bedrock, especially, digest some of the sulfides that go along with gold. And in this case, the metabolic signatures of the digestion of those minerals by these microbes are what lead to the plotting of these redox zones. And when we did ourselves a test survey along the Dixie Limb and the Hinge zones, we did 150 odd samples over that area. What it showed was that if we had never drilled a hole in either of those areas before, and we did that survey, so it showed these interpreted redox zones, and then we put drill holes across those targets, we would have hit both the Dixie Limb and the Hinge high-grade gold discoveries, even if we didn't have any drilling to go off of. So it shows us that effectively this sort of black box type technique based on this type of data from all these different systems that ACT Labs has looked at, I don't need to fully understand it because I'm not a geochemist, and I'm definitely not a botanist of any kind. But we do know based on our own project that it's effective, and it did highlight both of the zones that we already knew about. So what we needed to do effectively, because that LP fault, you know, at 18 kilometers of strike length, you can imagine the cost of just drilling a blind grid of holes across something that's probably 1 to 2 kilometers long by say, for roughly speaking, 20 kilometers long by 1 to 2 kilometers wide. I mean, it would just be impossible, like technically impossible for any sort of junior company to go and just drill a grid over that area. So what this SGH technique is going to let us do is continue to drill along the fault based on the geophysics and based on the data that we already have. Hopefully that continues to be successful. But because the area is really district scale in itself, it's so big, that SGH technique should be able to give us additional drill targets to focus on. And because we know it was successful over the two zones that we already had, we're optimistic that we'll be able to zero in on some new potential gold sites along that big scale of the LP fault system.
Yeah, this SGH survey is very interesting because even comments that were made at that Sprott conference is that a lot of the high quality resources that have been found are already found, and those are the ones that we're showing at surface. But you even said on the onset there that a lot of this resource is covered by a small layer of gravel. So by being able to potentially look below those gravels gives you a bit more confidence when you are drilling. I just want to take a step back, though, and as much as we talk about the Red Lake project, because you are in the Red Lake District, this is sounding a little bit different. Can you maybe elaborate a bit more on that?
That's a great observation, Corey. To answer this correctly would involve me pulling out and then quoting like more than a dozen different scientific papers that I've now read over. Like Bob Singh, our VP Exploration, has been going through documents and sending them to me. I've been pulling documents and 43-101 reports. Like I'm fairly convinced that this mineralized system that we're drilling along the LP fault is significantly different from what you would expect to see typically in the Red Lake camp. So I think we're onto something quite a bit different here. Some of the parallels to it, there are some deposits that have similar characteristics geologically, structurally. The thing about those is that they're all significant, globally significant producers. And you have to be very cautious as a junior company when you have the potential to make this kind of discovery. You don't want to get ahead of yourself. You never want to get to a point where you're dialing it back and trying to tone it down. So I really have to watch what I say. But, you know, transparently, and to address your question, this is something I believe is completely new to the Red Lake camp. And the drilling and the results that we're doing right now, we're rapidly drilling as much of it as we can so that we can get the data we need to really speak with authority on that topic.
So now let's just wrap it up with the potential news flow. Obviously, we should be getting back some of these drill results that are backed up in the labs. Can you give us, first of all, any time frame on that? And second of all, any other insights into news flow for potential and even future investors?
I would say because we're so well funded, I mean, the company has $20 million in the bank. We've got another roughly $10 million of in-the-money warrants and options and other things, which will definitely, well, most likely come in here. So we will not, even with multiple drill rigs going, we won't have to go back to the market if we don't need to for more funding for, you know, all the way through this year and all the way through next year. So that puts us in a really good position to just drill the hell out of this and keep generating results. So there will be steady drill results from the company over the course of, you know, the next 18 months or so, without pause. We drill all year long. There's never a stop in that work. So this is really a function of, it's probably one of the most active series of news flow of any junior mining company in the world right now. So if you are looking for an active company with, you know, certainly recently we've had an excellent track record of being able to make these new discoveries. I just have to think, Corey, like if I were talking to you about a year ago, you know, the stock would have been about 50 cents, roughly, like give or take a few pennies. And then, you know, we made that hinge zone discovery and the stock went up to sort of in the, you know, buck and a half kind of range. And then we began drilling more and more gold, you know, gradually over the course of the year, you work your way up. We're currently in the, you know, the $5.50 type of range. But I mean, we're really just getting going. Like I have to emphasize that even last year, up to August of last year, people were congratulating me, patting me on the back and saying, Chris, you know, it's 2018. It's not a good year. You did great. You went from 20 cents in January to 60 cents in August. Congratulations. I'm sorry I missed it. And then they said exactly the same thing after we made the Hinge Zone discovery. And then they said the same thing after the Bear Ramini discovery. And then the same thing after the Yuma discovery. But it feels like we're getting on a big freight train here that's just leaving the station. So that's really the sense that I have as a geologist and the guy who's dealing with these discoveries and these results coming in, is that you never know with mineral exploration. There's no guarantees in this business. It's a risk, it's a risk on venture, and it's risk capital that gets deployed. But there comes a time when just the weight of evidence and the weight of success that you've had, it sort of piles up. And like I said, the only analog that I can think of is, like, for me, it's like sitting on a train that's actually accelerating, not something that's up to speed. So we keep finding more and the system keeps getting bigger and it keeps surprising us with these new discoveries. So I would say for investors that are interested in that kind of story and that kind of potential in sort of an improving gold market, I think it's a great convergence of opportunity. So I would just encourage people to pay attention to the news. And if they like what we're doing, I'm always happy to have you as a shareholder. And I think every day it's the shareholders that we're working for here. I'm a big shareholder. The other guys in the board are big shareholders. We want to make our shareholders as successful as possible.
All right. Well, I'm here to help convey the messages to the shareholders. And that's why if any of the shareholders or people paying attention will have any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. And I am happy to pass those over to Chris and his team. In the meantime, everyone, thank you for tuning into this weekend show. It was a busy week for me at that Sprott conference. Throughout next week, I will be coming out with a couple interviews that I recorded at the show, and I will be following up with some of the companies that you all wanted me to touch base with. Chris, great having you on the show. Thanks, as always, for sharing some more insights into what Great Bear is up to. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.